So in these next few weeks, we are going to work through a series we're calling Faithful Resilience in Troubled Times, Turbulent Times. Now, today I want to start with a sermon that I'm calling a Jewish Carpenter, a 19th Century French Writer, and a Contemporary Psychologist Sit Down at a Bar. Actually, they're outside and under an awning, maybe under an umbrella, and watching the rain kind of come. So on Easter, we celebrated the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And many of you were here, part of that, or you were in other places celebrating that day. Did you have a good time? Yes, it was a very, very wonderful remembrance of a reality that we hold on to. In fact, we hold on to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus every Sunday that we gather. Did you know that? Every church service is supposed to be a little Easter, a remembrance, a weekly remembrance, a dosing of the reminder of the power of the resurrection at work in this world, for sure. And in this, there is hope that not only is Jesus resurrected, not only is there power in the very love of God to take death, that thing that ultimately tries to break us, that ultimately just sort of tries to scatter what we are, what we were, what we had hoped to be but never could be, to try to break all that and say, that's not going to stand. And still, God is able to take the brokenness and bring healing. That God is able to kind of like move past the sin and move past the mess and move into life. Did it for Jesus? Does it for us? And so, as we remember the power of the resurrection last week, we go through this season of Easter. Now, between actual Easter Sunday and Pentecost, many churches have this thing called the Easter season. And that's what we are in now. We'll kind of like observe this. It's 50 days or so between Easter Sunday and Pentecost is this season of Easter. So it's perfectly appropriate for me to say, Happy Easter. If you want to freak somebody out when you go to work tomorrow, you want to get some attention from them as you're moving through, look at them and say, Happy Easter. In fact, turn to your neighbor right now and say, Happy Easter. I don't do that turn to your neighbor thing a lot, but I kind of enjoy that. So thank you for letting me do that. But as we go through this, and remember that Jesus' resurrection is our resurrection as well, we have to kind of know that there are still going to be storms. There are still going to be those things that blow into our life. There, unfortunately, is a misunderstanding among some Christians that, you know, once you have done all the right things and you've checked all the right boxes and you said, oh, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and you have given a sufficient amount of money to the church, or you have given the preacher all the things that the preacher wants. I'm still waiting on my airplane, by the way.
Coming in next week.
Yeah. No. This business of resurrection comes again to us and again in really powerful ways. In ways that we might find ourselves reminded of over and again, maybe just days from our making our commitment to Jesus, maybe years and years and years after that, maybe in new ways. The storms do come. And it's important, Jesus says, that those people who are trying to listen to how I am guiding you, that when you try to listen and make over your life in this way that I'm trying to lead you in, that I've opened the way for you to be able to follow me in, that you will be able to weather the storms. He gives us some construction advice. Don't build your house on sand, right? If you go to the beach, you enjoy a few days in the sun and perhaps in a nice house on the sand. And then when hurricane whatever, the next hurricane comes through, and you go back and look sometimes at the beaches that you've been, you might be surprised. Eventually, we will all see those things work their way out to sea, as beautiful and as wonderful as they are. By the way, if you have a beach house, I'm not trying to discourage you. But when we try to build on things that are shifting sand. Now, that's the Jewish carpenter saying, don't build that way. Build on rock. Build on a firm foundation. Build on the things that you know you can trust. Even as the rains will come, even as you may wonder, is this going to really kind of, are we going to make it? Will I make it? Can we make it? Now, yesterday, we had some gentle showers that kind of worked their way through. Were you outside? Did you see those things? Gina and I went to get groceries yesterday, and we were hungry and grumpy, which meant that we wound up at Starbucks first. And so we drove up to the Starbucks that we were going to before we went to the store. And the clouds just kind of opened up and it was plowing through. Well, not plowing, wrong metaphor, but you got it. You know, it was raining cats and dogs. It was raining gerbils. It was raining. And we pulled up and sitting outside of the Starbucks were three guys sitting underneath an awning, just chatting it up, just having a wonderful time, even as the rain fell. The awning gave them just enough cover for them to enjoy that while we sat in the car and fantasized about running inside with no umbrella. I was thinking about that conversation as I was thinking about what we would talk about today, particularly, as I mentioned to you, there's a Jewish carpenter, but there's also a couple other conversation partners in this. So Jesus breaks down a truth about building on the right material to provide shelter for the storm that will not wash away. Now, with that, I imagined that there was also this satirist, this French writer, the father of the modern short story, if you are an English major. I was an English major for a semester. That's another story. But Guy de Maupassant, that's my best French. He wrote a piece called The Umbrella and said, he could say to Jesus, you know, the roof on that house is to an umbrella, tries an analogy here, a roof is to an umbrella as a fortress is to a shield. Perhaps we also need to think about what we are carrying with us through those storms of life that do show up. There is the roof to offer the defense, large stationary thing, but you also need those portable shields, that portable sanctuary to find yourself into. And then he tells a story. Now, I don't have time to fully go through with that story, but I want to tell you that I'm going to try to get that into your hands because it's a great story. And essentially, it is about a very thrifty woman who is cross with her husband because he wants an umbrella. And she finally gets him the umbrella and, you know, says, all right, well, I paid all this money and here you go. And then the next day, she opens up and sees this umbrella has a big fat hole in it. And she's furious because he has foolishly, you know, it looked like the size of a cigar. This is back in the day when guys smoked cigars and carried umbrellas, right? He foolishly burned up his, and so in anger, in a really kind of difficult conversation, she decides, oh yeah, well, I'm gonna do something about this. And so she files an insurance claim. Have I got you so far? Good story, right? And it's a costly insurance claim. The writer is sort of poking fun at how she is dealing with this whole issue and how she actually decides, in order to file this insurance claim, I need to make sure that there's sufficient burning going on. So she sets her umbrella on fire. Which is interesting to me because I have had a few times that I've wanted to set an umbrella on fire. Maybe you don't want to do that, but I have had a long and ugly history with umbrellas. Now, and my mother was like this too. Mom and I both thought these were maybe the most futile, stupid things that you could ever find yourself stuck with, because they're always like this one. I have no idea how to open this. All right, so you know, there's like, okay, I've got to figure this out. Maybe there's rain coming, I don't know. I'm going to get my umbrella out. And where's the umbrella? It's always in the back of the car underneath something with crumbs on top of it, right? So you've got to find the umbrella, you've got to brush off the crumbs, you're getting wet in the midst of, or you're back in. Your back end's sticking out of the car, and you're getting the umbrella, you're brushing the, sorry about that. And so you get the thing, and you find that parts of it are broken. So some of the ribs of this one is broken, and okay. And then so finally, this is a bad thing. This is a bad idea. By the way, some of you are probably freaked out that I just opened up an umbrella inside the house. If that is the case, I am very sorry. Let's get over that. Okay? It's not bad luck. If you believe in bad luck, we need to have another conversation. My mother and I, shared a disgust for umbrellas. I started calling them a hanky on a stick, because basically that is what you have when you have an umbrella. It's like, okay, it works. It's a little bit helpful here and there. I mean, if you're getting in and off of a train in England, I get it, right? If you're getting out of your car, however, you gotta like go through all the rain with the umbrella, and then when you get to your back to your car, what do? You have to deal with the fact that you have a stupid umbrella that is soaked, right? And then you have to put it in your car, which you don't want to stick a wet thing in your car, right? If you have cloth seats, what am I gonna do, But what do? You can't just throw the umbrella on the ground like you want to. No, you have to like fold it up, stick it in the car. And while you are doing that, are you getting wet? Yes, you're getting very wet. It's dumb. Except when you need it. In fact, there are times that I've been very, very happy that I had an umbrella. My mom and I, we would argue, well, we'll just carry a jacket with a hood, right? That's great. Your legs get wet, and if you don't have that jacket, you're in trouble. When you have a storm that comes into your life, having that shelter really helps. It helps you psychologically. It helps you kind of stay out of the rain where you don't get pneumonia and die. This brings to the conversation the third person that's sitting outside at the table, the Jewish carpenter and the French writer, which is a psychologist. Now, she is a lovely soul who actually read that story when she was in high school. Do you remember in high school actually reading stories? Oh, wow. So she read Monsieur de Maussan's story, The Umbrella, and her name is Dr. Ramani Duvasala. I wanted to be sure that I spoke her name correctly because she's good. And also, she says, don't burn your umbrella. And she means by that, metaphorically, that the umbrella represents your emotional boundaries, those things that you say, you know what, I'm not going to put up with this with you. When there are people that bring storms with them, have you noticed that there are people that actually carry entire weather systems right up to you and dump all that stuff on you? And in the midst of that, wouldn't it be good to have an umbrella, right? Oh, bother. Wouldn't it be good to have an umbrella? So there are boundaries, there are coping strategies, there's ways of protecting yourself, protecting you from what is going on. And I would add, remarkably, your faith and your spiritual grounding, your relationship with Jesus, the ultimate rock that to build a fortress on, can help you weather the storm. There are spiritual umbrellas that we actually need. Now, this is a better umbrella, by the way. I found this umbrella after I was frustrated enough to say, all right, I'll carry an umbrella. Because my wife loves them, right? So it's raining. She's like, do you have an umbrella? And then we go through all that I just showed you. So I decided I'm going to find a decent umbrella. This is a good one. This one is built so it doesn't pop open like that one did. It actually has two layers where the wind can pass through and all that. I'm not trying to sell you these. These are not available in the back. There will not be an Amazon link sent to you that pays me a little portion of that. That doesn't happen. But there are times, oh, the other thing is it folds in. So you can shake it off and throw it in the back of the car, sprinkle the crumbs on it, and then go on. Are you with me on the metaphor here? Because sometimes we will be really foolish about these things that we know that we're going to need and not tend to them. Perhaps not find the better umbrella. Perhaps not even care enough to carry this with us, thinking, I got this. There will be no storms. I used to work in radio. People would listen to me about whether or not the weather would be rainy or not. And I learned, and this was in the 80s, of course, that the quality of the forecast really depended on lots of things, but because I told them that it was going to not rain, people would call me up and be really angry with me when it would rain. And it rains. Sometimes it's horrific. sometimes it makes you wonder if the problem is going to swallow you up. Sometimes it makes you wonder, what am I going to do with this? Over these next few weeks, we're going to talk about this. We'll certainly deal with those things that are boundaries and coping techniques and shields. And some of them will be, you know, kind of like saying no to things, or perhaps even getting ready with God into things inside of our prayer life, inside of our disposition of charity towards other people, inside of our holding ourselves with compassion. And maybe we'll find some good umbrellas that are not on fire. And maybe we'll buy a new one if we need to. So this is what I invite you to over these next several weeks. And I do that in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.